Thank you, Brother Tom and Brother Turner, for leading our singing today. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody together said, Amen. When Joshua is writing in chapter 1 of his book, he says down in verse 7, Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of my law my servant Moses gave to you. And do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I just leave you with that great encouraging Bible verse from Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and verse 8. Miss Janet Thompson, it's mighty good to see you in service today. Since your recent fall and surgery, we're happy to have you back. I'll just say, you know, we have more than one person you need to be careful around, just so you won't nudge them in the wrong direction. They might teeter over. But we're glad to have all of you here, and we're glad that you're able to make it here and to be with us. We're happy for everybody who is here. Our lesson today comes from 2 Peter chapter 1. I know it's a passage of Scripture that you probably have colored off or marked off, or at least some kind of recognition in terms of its verses, because it is a very popular passage of Scripture. And I've titled the lesson for today, The Need for Real Character. And Tom, you couldn't have picked a better song to put me in the pulpit with than the expression of the songwriter who said, Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All those beautiful words there that sort of depict the teaching of Jesus Christ and His apostles, of those who wrote the New Testament for us through the Holy Spirit. What a marvelous song that is to tell us about Scripture. And as we sing it, I hope it encouraged you. As we read this passage together, I hope you'll see some things of great interest to you and that the message can be one of encouragement for today. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, and to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that this or His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and to godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and His excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and His magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason, also apply all diligence in your faith. Supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And into your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about your calling and choosing you, or his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. So I'm just going to pile up on that part, Jim, and say, y'all have heard this before. You've heard it somewhere before. Preachers, you know, it's a great time to be together on the Lord's Day, and you know, and people gather about and you deliver a lesson that you've worked on. And as Brother E.W. McMillan used to tell us every day in his class, he'd say, "Class, I have studied afresh so that you might know the things of God today in our class." He said that every day. So I get up and I quote to you every Sunday Ephesians 3:20 and 21 to remind you what God has done through us through Christ Jesus. And I say to you, that is really what the job of the preacher is, especially a local preacher, that he would remind us of the things that are written. Sure, you've heard them before, and I hope you can hear them in a different way. I never know of a passage, Bob, any time I read, that I don't see it a little differently than maybe I've seen times past, if I'm actually really studying to know what the Word of God has to say. Well, let me say a couple of things that may seem somewhat, unnecessary, but you know that we live in a fallen world. Our sin has just devastated the human existence. And it becomes more and more evident, I think, every day and every week and every month and every year that goes by. And for those of us who've lived a few more years than others have, we just sort of look at it and say, can it get any worse? I remember my parents probably saying those same things. My grandparents said the same things. Because after a while, you just think it can't be any worse. And yet, there are still things that we recognize that are just not right out in our world. So it's not surprising, at least it shouldn't be, that problems exist from sea to shining sea. No matter where you want to go, there are difficulties and there are problems. And in fact, I think it is James who states over in James chapter 1 and those early verses that he says that we ought to count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into manifold or many temptations. Because you see, temptations try your patience, and your patience is what helps increase your faith. I don't know that I always look at those little things that bug me as the kind of things that are helping my faith. Can I get anybody to say that's true for you? Or are you just saying, I wish they'd quit doing that? And yet the Bible clearly tells us that the things that irritate us sometimes are the things that are supposed to help us grow our faith. You know and I know that problems do not discriminate. Even those who have experienced a certain amount of, I'm going to say, some external kind of success in life, they still have their struggles that seem to sort of suck the value and the joy out of life. You've heard me say it before. I haven't, not the first person that said it. Life doesn't always make sense, does it? Things just go along in life, and then you think that didn't make sense. Why did that happen? Why is all of that going on? Now, we've all experienced what happens when a hurricane comes through or a tornado comes through. We know that over on the East Coast that there are people who are suffering. And even in the midst of all of that, you can read in the headlines that there are people who are and who have already been arrested for robbing the stores that are now left empty and people had to get away from and all that kind of thing, or robbing homes where people have fled from their homes. What a shame that not only the devastation of a natural disaster that comes along, that there's this human disaster that follows it and comes in. That's the world we live in. But the truth is, that's been the world from the beginning of time. That's the way it's been. I don't know whether any of these things that I'm about to say will sound familiar to you, but I hear lots of things like this from different people. Like, I've set my and met my own career goals, and I'm having a great deal of professional success, but I'm having a lot of success, but it's cost me my personal life, my family. I don't have a wife anymore. My children are not around anymore. I'm not even sure if I know myself what's really important to me. I've had to ask myself, one person said, I asked myself whether it was all worth it, because I had obtained some professional success. Or I have a bad habit. Can anybody raise their hand on this? I have a bad habit that I've been trying to break for the 1,000th time. Huh? Hello? You been there? It's the same thing keeps tripping you up. You know, it's kind of like walking into the clean glass door. That's really embarrassing, isn't it? Boom! What? How did that happen? Or maybe it's a teenage child. Maybe it's a family member that's rebellious, has difficulties themselves, but no matter what I try to do, they don't listen to me. What can I do about it? Or I feel insecure, even though I've had that success. I'm insecure about my position in life. I feel uneasy because I always wonder what other people really are thinking about me. My marriage has gone flat. We don't really fight or anything. We just don't love each other anymore. I've had that said to me a number of times in my preaching career. Folks have come to my office. We've gone to counseling. We've tried everything, a number of things, but we just don't seem to be able to rekindle the feeling we used to have. Now, you might be listening to that kind of talk or that kind of difficulty as a Christian, and you might say, well, what that person needs is they need God in their life. And we can all say amen, can't we? They do need God in their life no matter what. A lot of folks will say they need to get to church. God will take care of it. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. What if I said to you that a lot of those people that have said those things that are people that are coming to church anyway? People that are sitting out in the pew. Maybe I just describe some of you that are out here. People covered by and standing in God's grace who are still battling with the problems of a fallen world, and the lack of fulfillment in life, undesirable habits that you just can't seem to get through or break. Strained or ineffective relationships in your families. Insecurity of who you are and what you are, or maybe how people view you. Perhaps there are other similar ongoing struggles that you're dealing with I'm not naming. Not long ago, a person said to me, my faith has always seemed a little stagnant to me. I go to worship regularly. In fact, I have downloaded many different verses of the day apps, but there still seems to be something missing I just can't put my finger on. Well, in some ways, I suppose it's more tragic to find those struggles prevalent in the Lord's body or among us as brethren. I think because normally we think that as Christians, we ought to be stronger than that, right? I don't know, how do you go about avoiding or escaping from the corruption that's out here in our world? It seemingly gets more difficult all the time to avoid it. We've accepted the grace of Jesus Christ. The gospel is supposed to help us heal those wounds. Why do I not sense that healing? Maybe you ask that question. Most often the root cause can always go back to the struggle that is in the deeply personal developing of character, anchored, as we read, in a saving faith. You remember what Peter just said to us? That you begin with faith. I'm not referring to the kind of struggles that result from, say, let's say, a traumatic experience, or maybe some psychological imbalances that happen from time to time. I'm talking about the normal day-to-day process of growing and developing strong personal character. In fact, the Bible calls for it. This verse that we have just read, or these verses that we have just read, center themselves on the idea of personal character development. A lot of times as Christians, we talk about how God is going to make things right, or, you know, give it over to God and He will handle it. But I hope you'll listen to this if you don't hear anything else. A lot of times, I think people treat that concept as though it absolves them of any personal responsibility. It doesn't. It's crucial to understand that the Bible never separates God's gracious work from our human responsibility in responding to what He's asked us to do. Here's a great example over in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. You know this verse. If a man doesn't work, neither shall he. Well, see, there is some kind of responsibility that God is looking for. These factors in the human experience. Or maybe you could even apply James chapter 2 that says, faith without works is dead. You know that verse. In 2 Peter chapter 1, as we have read, we see the biblical mandate for deep-rooted character as a part of living. Are you listening? Under the Lordship of Jesus, our King. See, it's all about who you have made Lord in your life. If you noticed in verse 3 where it says, His divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that's a little g, okay? In other words, taking on the characteristics of Christ and applying them in my life. And without the power and the grace of God, we will never be able to live up to our potential in life, the one that He created us for, and the one that He calls us to. That's what God is looking for and wanting to help us with. And then in verses 5 and 7, we see this joint responsibility that I'm talking about to grow character in light of the grace of God. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith, says one of the versions. Do it with virtue. Do it with knowledge. Do it with self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly love or brotherly affection, and then overall with love. And without that crucial element, you see, of the personal character, we find ourselves in that continuous cycle of struggling with a type of long-term, ongoing difficulties that we've been describing. Sometimes we never experience the level of this world healing that only the gospel can provide. Did you hear what I'm saying? That the gospel of Jesus Christ provides healing for the everyday struggle of life. It gives us hope. It promises a future with God. It allows us to look beyond the things that are happening to us now. I'm not diminishing their importance in your life. I'm trying to emphasize that as a Christian, we have an answer to every one of those. And that's Jesus Christ, who is my Lord, who loves me. In fact, the scripture says, if these qualities are yours and they are increasing, that is growing in your life, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful. That's the words in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Literally, again, a promise of the development of strong character. And do I need to say it? That this is supposed to be assumed as something intentional. You don't get it just coming in here sitting down. You get it when you prepare your mind intentionally to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason there's a need for great character out in our world. It doesn't develop itself by just sort of sitting in the pew and soaking up whatever it is that you hear or you get to sing or be encouraged by, as great as those are, or even sitting at home and watching all the Hallmark specials. Talking about myself. Okay, so I'm a sucker for a Hallmark movie every once in a while, okay? But that's not how it happens. Growth in Christ comes by intentionally seeking to grow in Christ. That I'm effectively looking for a way that should happen for me. Are you active in your life and in your faith that you're having to put your character to work? Or even maybe to test? You see, the consequences of developing strong inner character come our way as we work to develop that strong faith and rooted character. What are we going to expect to happen in our own lives? It is the true source of our effectiveness. Because you see, the scripture says they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've never met anyone who particularly is fond of failing or ineffectiveness in what they do. All of us want to accomplish our goals and the things that we set for ourselves to reach out and do. We want our faith to result in a stable life. We want to have great marriages and good families that go about doing good things for fruit in God. And yet, we're going to have ongoing struggles that just seem to never go away. And sometimes they leave us feeling as though we are ineffective. Strong personal character, you see, increases the ability to have that effectiveness that we all desire to have. It enables us to see the bigger picture round about us of life and existence. For whoever lacks, says the scripture, verse 9, whoever lacks these qualities is nearsighted. He's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Are you guilty of that? That you've forgotten where you came from? I know that some of us have been sitting in the pew so long that sometimes that's a kind of remote, distant past for us to think about where we've been. Or if you read those Psalms that tell you about God knowing your every thought or your every word, those things are kind of scary, aren't they? That God would know what I'm thinking. And God would know where I've been in my thoughts. We all want to accomplish what God wants us to be. Those who lack the godly character are often incapable sometimes of recognizing that they themselves are their own source of frustration. Are you listening? You know, it's easy to sit back and to say, you know what's wrong with this place? I wonder how it would change if we would just get up and say, you know what, I'm going to take care of that problem. I'm going to get up and see that this gets done. When we are only able to see the problem instead of seeing how the path to solution lies inside of my own faith in who God is. God has given me, has given you, has given us the tools, the opportunity, the abilities, if you will, necessary to live the godly life. A lot of times I'm not employing them to move beyond the problems that occupy the whole of the vision. People of character are not so overtaken, so absorbed by the struggles that they lose their ability to take a step back, take a look at calmly and evaluate and get the bigger picture in mind and start acting accordingly. Is there a perfect congregation somewhere around this place? I don't think so. You know why? There are no perfect people. The only one left. The only way to get anything done that hasn't been done is you might ought to just get up and go do it. It might call upon your faith for that to happen. Use the tools to get through and to become stronger in your character and confirm God's saving work and calling in our own life. Therefore, he says, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and your election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. How do you know if the grace of God is doing things in your life? Look at whether or not your own personal character is growing. As we walk in faith arm in arm with Jesus, we are supposed to be changing for the better. We're supposed to be getting better at it. When we see ourselves growing in strength and pushing through those tough times of life, it confirms not just to us, but those who are around us that Jesus truly is our Lord. Not only will we push through them, but it's possible that the cycle, I'm going to say the dramatics of it, because we're operating from a place of stronger character, will seem to dissipate. I'm going to illustrate it with this, and then I'm going to close this lesson, but I hope it will encourage us. I'm trying to encourage us to be Bible students and to do the will of God. Now, I'm going to quote a person, and I'm not big on quoting people sometimes, but I'm going to use this quote because I think it applies in the little illustration I want to use. This was quoted or said by Henry David Thoreau. I don't endorse him, by the way. For every 1,000 that are hacking at the leaves of evil, there is one striking at the root. And when we moved in over on 1302 Stadium, there were several different difficulties over there that I saw that I thought needed to be corrected. The previous owner had fed the raccoons regularly. They had destroyed the screens on the screen porch. But I told Rosemary, I said, there's no need to repair those screens till we get rid of the raccoons. And everybody said, how are you going to do that? Well, if you want to know how I do it, you can see me later. But 9 raccoons later, and 3 armadillos, by the way, who, if you want to catch them, they really love night crawlers tied up in a little ball in a nylon sock. Just put it on the thing. They'll go right in. Anyway, now the Lord called them home, not me. Okay? That just a natural response. We put up new screens. Guess what? We have not had one occasion where the screens have been scratched out. That's because Rosemary stands outside at night and beats a pan. They don't come out. No, I'm kidding. Well, then we discovered we had another problem. And we called several people to try to help us with this problem. And the best help I got was a fellow by the name of Chenault. He came with his pison. That's poison for you who don't understand Louisiana talk. And he searched for the home of the carpenter ants that were eating away at the materials in the screened-in porch that were insulation fabrications, what it was, and it was falling down on the ground. And that went on for about 3 or 4 years. David came, he came back, he got rid of them for a while. We tracked them to a bush or two, I recall. Well, I'm going to make this story shorter. We had a fruitless mulberry tree in the backyard. I don't know how many of you have experiences with fruitless mulberries. It was getting pretty gnarly looking. Limbs kept falling from it. Sister Rosemary did not want one or the tree to fall on her house. She said, "It's gotta go." I said, "But baby, it's such good shade. It's gotta go." So I made the call. The tree man came. The tree man took down the tree. Guess what was inside the tree? The home of the ants. Now, I might not have ever found the home of the ants or anybody else. I mean, eventually, I suppose the tree would have fallen over because it had a great big hole all the way up the trunk of it. It would have fallen over. I could have been raking leaves for a long time on that tree. But you know what? I have a guy that mows the grass where that tree used to be. And I don't rake no leaves anymore. Now, you're wondering what in the world could this have to do with this whole thing. I'm just saying, how many of you are raking leaves when you ought to be chopping at the root? Are the problems all around us and you just see them, they need to be raked up in a pile and you need to gather them up and put them in a little bag, carry them out to the front, let the trash man haul them away? Well, I got news for you. They're going to fall again next year. You all know that, don't you? And you're going to have to rake them again. Sometimes problems are like that. You have to chop away on the root. Maybe the answer is you. Maybe you ought to be chopping roots instead of raking leaves. Maybe your character needs to be extended and your life needs to become the real character that Jesus is looking for. I love you. If we can help you today, I invite you to come while we stand and sing.